Highland Radio Sport, live from the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open in Ballyliffin, with Conley's Mercedes-Benz Sligo, your authorised Mercedes-Benz dealer for the Northwest. Find out more at conleysmercedesbenz.ie.
Okay, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open is well and truly underway. About 2 hours, 40 minutes now at this point. We're going to cross to our head of sport, Tosheen Kelly, who's at the Media Centre at the beautiful Ballyliffin Golf Club. For the latest, good morning to you, Tosheen.
Good morning, Greg. And I'll tell you what, the sun's back out. We had a dull, gloomy, overcast morning earlier here at Ballyliffin. When we got out of the bed at 6 a.m. this morning, we looked out the window. We thought, oh no, the Donegal summer has arrived. But thankfully, the proper summer is returning, because the media centre has lit up, and I can see the sun shining on the hills out in the distance at the far end of the course here in Ballyliffin. So weather-wise, we're getting back on track again, Greg.
Yeah, indeed. And just give us an idea of the change in atmosphere from sort of, you know, Tuesday then into Wednesday, the Pro-Am day, lots of access, lots of milling around. Presumably now the players have their game faces on, and it's, I'm kind of speaking from a media perspective, a different environment, or maybe you could talk to that too from the public's perspective.
It's the serious stuff, Greg, which is starting today. Yesterday was fantastic. The Pro-Am day was absolutely brilliant. The scene was set with the weather. It was warm, particularly in the afternoon. The players very much relaxed, and they were quite happy to meet the fans and sign autographs, and they were quite happy to talk to the media as well. But we were out, even, and you were here too, and you were along with me. We were on the practice range when we first arrived yesterday morning, which was great, because we were able to stand behind the players and watch them. And we talked to Graham McDowell as he came off the practice range on Tuesday evening, I think it was. Yeah, we were in the practice range. But then yesterday afternoon, that was all closed off to the media. So these guys are all getting into game mode. So they are. They're getting the game faces on. They want to win this Irish Open, and it's serious stuff as from this morning. And there'll be a few of them out there that'll want to lay down a marker, Greg, particularly in the opening round. And one man will be John Rahm. He's actually tipping himself, as we heard in your program yesterday, to win this event. He's told a few people to put money on himself, and he's looking, of course, to take victory here. Maybe the conditions of the course might suit, but you're asking about the atmosphere, Greg. It is different from a player point of view, but from a spectator point of view, huge numbers here yesterday. Somebody told us last night at the clubhouse that there was just under 10,000 here, which is big for a Pro-Am. Dennis Kerwin, golf broadcaster and journalist, is alongside me. He's nodding the head, so that's big for a Pro-Am. Today, there's going to be even more spectators coming. I've seen busloads of spectators coming in. I went down to the volunteer centre to see if I could meet and greet some of the Donegal people, but there's a changeover coming in the volunteers at about 11:30, so I'm going to make my way back down there. But as I headed down there, there's just a huge number of people getting off buses and coming out of the car parks and making their way to the ground, and they're all coming here to see these big golf stars, and they're getting in here early. They're availing of the car parking's available, because you can put about 10,000 to 15,000 cars down here. The space is that vast, so it is, and they're coming in. There's a great atmosphere from that side of it, but it's great to get to the tees. I haven't got to a tee yet, Greg,
on the course, and you will, I'm sure.
Shortly.
I'm going to
get up there and watch and see what it's the atmosphere like. Yeah. What the atmosphere is like at the tees and the greens and stuff.
On the course, John Farron, early run, was predicting a 6 or 7 under, I think, after day one. Looking at the scores coming in here now, through heading out on the 10th, we are seeing three players on 3 under. Interestingly, by the way, this has got nothing to do with anything. Andy Sullivan, who's from England, 1 under, he's actually the club pro at a golf course my sister-in-law manages, which is by the by, but it'd be funny.
So you're supporting Andy Sullivan. Well, everybody else is supporting Rory McIlroy.
I'm keeping an eye on him. But there are two Englishmen leading it, Ashley Chesters and Robert Rock. They're sharing it with the Spanish Adrian Ottegal. But listen, you're on course. You give us those details, Ashley.
I'll bring Dennis Kerwin in here, a regular contributor, of course, to Highland on the golf front. As Greg said there, Dennis, 6-7 under could be the score today. Already we're looking at three players tied at 3 under. How do you think, with the conditions changing and the sun back out, the course is going to speed up? What's the score going to be at the head of the field at the end of the first, do you think?
I think you're right, Oisin. I think around 6 or 7 under is probably going to lead towards the end of the day. But it's interesting. It's very much horses for courses on Lynx golf courses. And we see Robert Rock actually leading the way there alongside Ashley Chesters and Adrian Otegi. But Robert Rock has had 2 second place finishes at the Irish Open in the past. He was second to Shane Lowry, memorably back in 2009. He was beaten by Shane Lowry in the playoff there on that occasion at Baltrae, and he has another second place finish as well in the Irish Open, and that was, he was tied second in 2013. And looking at, you know, Matthew Southgate, a player who's on 2 under par currently. Matthew Southgate is another Lynx specialist. I mean, Matthew Southgate was in fourth place at the Irish Open in 2016, and he was second last year in Port Stewart. And his two other best ever performances in his career were in the 2016 and 2017 Open Championship. So he's very much a Lynx specialist, as indeed, as I say, is Robert Rock. And again, he has a top 10 at the Open Championship on his CV, and a second place finish at the Dunhill Championship, the Dunhill Lynx Championship. So both of those are Lynx specialists. So you probably find, Oisin, that players who regularly play well on Lynx courses will do well here.
What about the Irish then, Dennis? Yeah. You are a golf fanatic. You keep a very close eye. I know you mentioned Shane Lowry there. One of the best rounds of golf that you ever watched was in 2009 when Lowry, as an amateur, won the Irish Open. He hasn't really hit that sort of form in the Irish Open since. Graham McDowell's out in the course at the moment. How are these boys going to fare out in the Lynx?
Yeah, Shane Lowry, as you say, that was an incredible achievement to win the Irish Open as an amateur. Extraordinary performance, one of the greatest ever performances by an Irish sportsman. And he was subsequently played well at Carton House in the Open, but he is disappointed over a couple of years in the Irish Open, and he'd be hoping to bounce back. Padraig Harrington, he's level par at the moment after 6 or 7 holes. He's playing in company with Kerry Deck, Happy Barnrat. And Padraig, you know, again, he's had mixed fortunes over the last few years at Irish Opens, but he has done, you know, he's won in 2007 in Adair Manor. He is the all-time greatest ever Irish Lynx player, obviously with back-to-back Open Championships in 2007 and 2008, but he's just bogeyed the sixth hole there to fall back to 1 over par. And players wouldn't want to slip too far off the lead, Oisin, because as you say, maybe 6 or 7 under could lead at the end of the day.
John Rahm's level par, so he's played 6 already.
Yeah.
So he started on the 10th, and according to Gareth McCausland, the back nine is a lot more difficult than the front nine. And he told me that the front nine, if they're going to make sort of any gains at all, that it's going to be in the first 9 holes.
You know, that's actually been reflected in the scores, all right, because you can see that players who started on the front nine tend to be doing better so far. But you can see nobody's running away with it. And I mean, there's a stiff enough breeze out there. I mean, even on a benign day here in Ballyliffin, you're going to have a fairly stiff breeze.
Greg, we love good stories, good field stories. We've had one already from the course this morning. A guy called Mark Foster from England. He had a hole-in-one at the 7th.
Nice.
A fantastic start.
Padraig Harrington was upset as his 66-1 status. He's 1 over through 6. I wonder what the views are on Harrington's chances. As I say, he actually seemed upset that he was effectively, you know, 59 points behind Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, you know, in fairness to Padraig, Padraig is always optimistic. I love Padraig's optimism. It can be infectious. But, you know, as I say, he's 1 over after 6, so he'll need to start making a few birdies. But it was interesting that you mentioned Mark Foster had made a hole-in-one. Well, my broadcasting colleague, Greg Allen from RTE, made his 4th career hole-in-one last night, Greg, in North West Golf Club. He had a hole-in-one on the 16th. I think he hit.
Did anyone see it, though? That's the thing. Did anyone see it, or is he claiming this?
We actually didn't see it gone into the hole, but it was interesting. My other colleague, Philip Quinn from the Irish Daily Mail, he's only ever witnessed 3 holes-in-1 in his life, and Greg has actually made 2 of them. About 25 years ago, he made a hole-in-1 on the 15th in Port Marnock, one of the most famous par 3s in the world.
Yeah, well, I parred the par 5 first hole in Donegal Golf Club Murphy last night, so, I mean, that's quite an achievement for me. It's not a hole-in-1, but I'll take it.
And what a great golf course that is as well, Greg. I mean, you've got some fantastic tracks, and we were delighted to play Northwest last night. It was a pleasure. There's nothing nicer than playing golf with a few friends in the gloaming, and we had a fantastic round last night. We played 13 or 14 holes courtesy of Brian McElhinney, of course one of the greats here from this part of the world, and a former British amateur champion who of course played the Masters at one stage.
All right. Gents, anything you want to add, Osh?
Yeah, Rory McGee. We'll have to mention Rory because there's a Donegal connection there. His family is from the Downies Carrigarta area. He's represented Ross Opena as an amateur. He's played on a number of events on European tours, be it Pro Tours and Challenge Tour events. He's from Derry and he's on the course today. He's in under one of the Team Ireland invites and two holes completed by young Rory McGee, and he's sitting at a plus one on that bogey came on his opening hole. So it's maybe a nervy start for the amateur Rory McGee, but he's parred the second hole, and fingers crossed now that'll settle him. His target, of course, would be to have a couple of good rounds today and tomorrow, and you never know, he could make the cut into the final round at the weekend. But that's just about it for the moment, right, Greg. I suppose a couple of other highlights, Greg, from this week with the Donegal Hospice yesterday, who received a fantastic donation from the Rory Foundation. I was speaking to Grace Boyle, who was here to accept the cheque, and it was a huge surprise on her. They knew that they were getting they were going to receive rather a donation, but she didn't think that it was going to be to the level of 100,000 euro, which was very, very generous from the Rory Foundation, helping out the Donegal Hospice with that massive donation yesterday. And it, as Pro Am Day came to a close, it was certainly another highlight. And I know another highlight as well, away from the course, is how the local community are all chipping in, and they're all trying to give the visitors, which includes Dennis Kerwin, the best possible experience of any show on Dennis.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. The one thing that struck me, Oisin, was the fact that prices haven't been raised around the area for the Open. I mean, that tends to happen when large events come to a provincial town or a provincial area, that prices go through the roof. And I've noticed, one of my colleagues was saying he had a lovely meal up in Greencastle last night and couldn't believe the value he got. And indeed, you know, you have a few pints in town. We're staying in Clonmany locally, and you go in and have a few pints in the local bar there, and you see that the prices are probably 2004 prices in Dublin, and yeah, it's terrific, and long may that continue, and you'll get great kudos for doing that. Yeah.
Just one other question for you, Dennis, Greg, before we finished up. John Ram yesterday was speaking on one of the television, Sky Sports, and he loves the Irish Open.
Yeah.
He loves this course. It's the first time ever, like everybody else here in Ballyliffin. And he made the quote about this place could host a Ryder Cup.
Yeah, look, there is no doubt about it. I mean, the golf course is absolutely fantastic. And he also said, and a couple of the other players have said, that outside of the Open Rota, this is one of the best courses and yeah, the best links golf courses around. There is no doubt about it. It is a terrific event. In relation to hosting a Ryder Cup, it's probably a different kettle of fish. I mean, you know, there's a massive amount of infrastructure required. Mm. And the one thing that you need is a huge amount of hotel rooms. And you could struggle in that sense. But, you know,
but the fact that he said it.
Yeah.
I guess one of the board's top players.
Absolutely, and you know, you got to dream, you got to believe. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
John okay, Farr fair, had a fair, dream fair. 10 years ago. Sorry, Greg.
Yeah, no, just very fine. And just Dennis's point of view on this one. I was told, and I trust my source on this one, that Rory McIlroy has very much condensed and refined sort of the outside of the golf stuff he's doing this year. If that is true, does that indicate that he wants to more than ever win this tournament?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, there are a lot of demands on his time, Greg. I mean, he obviously, as tournament host, he's being, you know, literally, he's got a huge amount of commitments, and he's got to meet a lot of people, greet a lot of people. He's also got his charity foundation to look after. So, you know, Rory has been kind of, you know, had to, if there were two Rorys, there probably wouldn't be enough this week. So he's got to try and divide his time as best he can, and also concentrate on doing what he is paid to do, which is perform on the golf course. And all the locals want to see Rory McIlroy do well here. I mean, Rory McIlroy is one of the greatest Irish sports people of all time, with four major championships to his name, and one of the greatest golfers we've ever seen. And it would be terrific to see him do well, but it's difficult to keep that balance right, Greg. And I hope he does well, and I hope it comes Sunday evening he's involved at the business end.
Yeah, we need that. Very finally, Oisin, if you don't mind, who won the Pro-Am? We've had a few texts in.
I was trying to actually find out who won the protest. Did you hear who won the Pro-Am?
I know the score was like 33 under, but I think Graham McDowell.
McDowell's team.
I think they were in the low 30s. I don't think they were as low as 33. They didn't manage to nab as high a handicappers, right, perhaps, as went out a bit later.
I have one of the European tour guys just off to me, right? Maybe he would be able to tell me the Pro-Am. Have we found out yet who the official winner of the Pro-Am yesterday was? I think we're going to go with team McDowell, because they were in 33 under.
Right,
now that team was the Ballyliffin, what we call them, the Ballyliffin Heroes. Oh, the Ballyness Fitness. Paddy McDermott, the club captain, John Farn, the general manager, and the brilliant Johnny McGeoghegan, who's the president.
I've seen a couple of them coming up the 18th, and I don't know how they got to 33 under, but they did.
33 under, right. And they were tied for the lead, but I've actually sent one of the European Tour officials away to find out, Greg, so you might as well maybe stick with us just to do it.
One of the things that I really enjoyed seeing during the week was there were three of the players went out surfing the other day. They couldn't believe they were actually able to go surfing in Ireland in the middle of the summer. And I think you had George Kutsia and Rafa Cabrera Bayo and one of the other lads, Dylan Fratelli, went out surfing. So, you know, this is just unprecedented weather, and it's great that the lads are enjoying it.
But they're brilliant wee stories, because Simon Alice had told us as well last Monday, they went out for a boat trip around Malinhead. Now, you could go to Malinhead and spend 2 weeks and you wouldn't see a dolphin. There was about 100 of them turned up. And it was Ali Farn's boat, the brother of John, had taken them out. Fantastic. So there was six or seven European Tour officials, the top brass, and a boat. Next thing, these dolphins come.
I think this is a week that'll probably be long, long, long remembered in Donegal. Yeah. I mean, you know, places that have had Irish Opens like Ballybunion, they've, you know, they're talking about them years afterwards. And I think this is going to be spoken about for years to come. And I've no doubt that it will be back here at some.